I have to return her call. It may take a while.
Fine.
He shrugged, glugged down some water.
I get to see how you fix it.
Appreciate the confidence, she replied, then hit the key to return the call.
Want something stronger than water?
She shook her head. Clara, it's Parker. I'm sorry I couldn't get to the phone quicker. She lapsed into silence, during which Malcolm could hear the hysterical bride's voice, if not the words. High-pitched, full of angry tears. So, he concluded, the strategy was to let her vent it out, pour out the anger and tears to a sympathetic ear. While Clara vented, Parker rose to open the terrace doors. Cool air blew in, lightly scented with the night. Malcolm appreciated the way it fluttered Parker's robe. Of course you're upset. Parker all but cooed it. Cool air, he thought again, over hot temper. No one can really understand the stress of all the decisions and the details but you. Naturally, you were hurt, Clara. Anyone would be. But I think... She continued to make soothing and agreeable noises as she closed the doors again, walked back to the bed to sit, and this time rested her head on updrawn knees. I understand exactly, and you're right. It's your wedding. It's your day. My sense is that Nathan wanted to help. Yes, I know that, but let's face it, Clara, men just don't get it, do they? She turned her face, offered Malcolm a smile and eye roll. And sometimes they just step in it, then can't figure how to get out. I really think Nathan was trying to smooth things over with you and Margot because he hated for you to be upset. He just went about it clumsily. She listened again, and Malcolm could hear the bride's tone clicking down several levels. It's not that the details aren't important to him, Clara, it's that you're more important. Anger and stress, Clara, on both your parts. You know he adores you, and he knows, too, how much you and Margot mean to each other. No. She cast her eyes to the ceiling. I don't think you were wrong. She mouthed, yes, I do. I think emotions got the best of everyone. And, Clara, I know how much you'd regret it if your sister wasn't standing beside you on the most important day of your life. Yes, the dress is important. It's very important. I think I can help there. Why don't we all meet at the shop next week, you, Margot, and me? I'm sure I can find something that makes you both happy. She listened another minute or two, adding soothing noises, directing the solution in easy tones. That's right. Why don't you call Nathan now? Yes, I know, but how happy are either of you going to be if you let this fester between you? The dress is important, but nothing's more important than you and Nathan starting your life together. I know you will. She laughed. I bet. I'll see you and Margot Tuesday. That's what I'm here for. Good night.
Good job.
Parker blew out a breath. She wants her sister to wear celadon, which the sister hated. Said it makes her look sallow, and having met Margot, I'm sure it did.
What the hell is celadon?
It's a kind of celery color. A good sister shouldn't want her MOH to look sallow, but a good MOH sucks it up and wears what the bride wants. It's basic wedding rules. So, huge fight, which continues via phone, drawing the MOB in, who wisely kept her mouth shut. Then the poor groom tries to defuse the situation, telling the furious bride that it's no big, just pick another dress. It's all about you and me, baby, to which the bride explodes, and so on and so forth.
So it's all about celery.
She laughed. The celery is the MacGuffin. It's about power, control, emotions, stress, and family dynamics.
You got her to agree to a different dress and call the guy, all without telling her she was stupid.
That's the job. Plus, she wasn't stupid so much as too focused on the minutiae, which she should leave to me.
And the minutiae is why you keep Tums in the nightstand?
They help when furious crying brides call at night. She pushed her hair back over her shoulders, studied his face. I have to get up early.
Do you want me to go?
No, I don't, but if you stay, you need to know I have to get up early.
It's handy, because so do I.
He set the water down, then reached out to pull her hair back over her shoulders.
Why don't we take round two a little slower?
She linked her arms around his neck.
Why don't we?
He heard the beep, opening one eye to the dark. He felt Parker stir beside him, then reach over to turn off the alarm.
I should have asked you to define early,
he mumbled.
Full plate today, and I want to get my workout in before it starts.
He opened both eyes to read the clock. 5:15. Could be worse.
I wouldn't mind a workout. Next time I'll bring some gear.
I've got extra gear if you want to use the gym.
I don't think yours will fit me.
She turned the light on low as she rose and, swinging on the robe, walked to an adjoining door.
Just a minute.
In just about that minute, while he contemplated catching another half hour of sleep, she came in carrying a gray t-shirt, gym shorts, and socks.
Dell's?
No, I keep a supply of various things for guests.
You keep clothes for guests?
Yes. She dropped them on the bed. And as you can see, it's a useful habit, unless you were just making noises about a workout.
Give me 5 minutes.
She took little more than that to change into a sexy red tank and pants that hit just above her knee. She pulled her hair back into a tail and hooked her phone on her waistband.
How many days a week do you put in on that body, Legs?
7.
Well, from my perspective, it's worth it.
He gave her ass a quick pat that had her blinking.
In memory of Uncle Henry.
Laughing, she guided him to her gym. He stopped in the doorway. He'd seen their setup at their beach house in the Hamptons, but that was small change compared to this. 2 treadmills, an elliptical, a recumbent bike, Bowflex, free weights, a bench press, not to mention the huge flat screen and the glass-fronted fridge holding bottles of water and juice. Towels, he noted, neatly folded. Alcohol wipes. Killer view.
Convenient,
he said.
And efficient.
For years, it's mostly been Laurel and me using it, with Emma and Mac making the occasional visit. But recently, it's been getting a lot more traffic. I think we'll add another elliptical and bike, maybe a rower. So, she took a towel from the pile. I catch up on the morning news while I do a couple miles, but there are a couple of iPods if you want music.
Of course there are. I'll take a run with tunes.
Different world, he thought as he set himself up on a treadmill. It beat the hell out of the setup he had at home. Classy, sure, but it damn well was efficient. He had a fondness for efficiency. Plus, it wasn't a hardship to take his run while Parker took her strides beside him. He put in a solid 3 miles before moving on to the free weights. While she used the Bowflex, they sweat in companionable silence. He hit the fridge for water while she unrolled a mat and started some sort of yoga deal and seemed to flow from one tricky position to another.
You'll have to show me how that works sometime.
She rose from basically bending herself in two and moved into some sort of long, fluid lunge. I've got a really good instructional DVD for beginners.
Of course you do, but I think I'll let you do the instructing. You're fucking beautiful, Parker. I'm going to grab a shower, okay?
Sure. I'm going to be about 15 minutes.
Take your time.
He walked out, his mind full of her. Then spotted Dell, dressed in sweats, heading toward the gym. Dell stopped, an almost comical freezing of motion. Here we go, Malcolm thought, and kept walking.
Hey.
Hey?
Dell goggled at him.
That's all you have to say?
Nice gym. I slept with your sister, and you can take a swing at me like you did at Jack over Emma, but it's not going to change it. It's not going to stop me from sleeping with her again.
For fuck's sake, Mal.
I gave you fair warning, and I didn't push her. And I can tell you, that part wasn't easy. She's the most amazing woman I've ever met, and that's on every level I can come up with. If you've got a problem with it, Dell, I'm going to be sorry, but that's not going to change anything either. Just what the hell are your intentions?
Jesus.
Malcolm dragged a hand through his hair.
This is a serious question. My intentions are to be with her as often as I can, in bed and out. She's beautiful, and she's smart, and she's funny, even when she doesn't mean to be. God damn it, she's got me by the throat.
Dell took a minute to pace back and forth.
If you screw this up, if you make her unhappy, I'll do more than take a swing at you. If I screw this up, you won't have to take a swing at me. Parker would already have flattened me.
He left Dell muttering to himself and hit the shower. He'd just finished dressing when Parker came in. Should I apologize for my brother?
No, if I had a sister, I'd probably punch first, discuss later. It's cool.
Our relationship's more complicated than most siblings. When our parents died, he... Dell feels he has to look out for me. For all of us, but especially me.
I get it, Parker. I can't blame him. More, it's part of who he is, and who he is a friend of mine. He give you some grief?
She smiled now. In his Dell way, and I gave him back some in my way. We're fine. He's your friend too, Malcolm.
That's right. So I think we'll just get this one thing out there now, before we go wherever we're going. I don't care about the money.
Her eyes chilled. He thought no one did cold disdain quite like Parker Brown. I never thought you did, nor did Dell.
The thought's going to jingle eventually, so let's just head it off. You've got a hell of a place here, and I don't just mean the house. Your place, Parker, around here. I've got to respect the time, the effort, the smarts that earned you, the Browns, that place. But I make my own, and that's how I like it. I take care of myself and my mother because that's my place. I don't see money or status or, what's it, pedigree when I look at you. I just see you, and you need to know that.
As she had the night before, she walked over to the terrace doors, opened them to the air, then turned to him. Do you think I'm slumming? He considered her a moment, not just angry, but a little hurt. As he'd been with Dell, he was sorry for it, but it didn't change anything.
No, that's beneath you. I'm clear on that. I want to make sure we're all clear on both sides.
Apparently we are.
You're a little pissed.
He moved to her.
You'll get over it. Want to catch a movie tonight? They're doing a Hitchcock deal. I think it's Notorious tonight.
I really don't know if...
Well, I'll call you, see what's up.
You're welcome to coffee and breakfast in the kitchen, she told him. Absolutely, perfectly civil.
Sounds good, but I've got a book.
He grabbed her, just grabbed her and gave her a quick reminder of what they had between them.
See you later,
he said as he headed for the door. He glanced back to where she stood in the center of the open doors, the sky and trees at her back.
Lay off the Tums, legs.
Chapter 13. This one was personal. Sherry Maguire was a friend, and she was Carter's sister. That made her family. Adding to the impact and intimacy of the connection, Carter's subbing for Nick during the previous January's wedding planning meeting had brought him and Mac together. This wedding, Parker determined, would not only go off without a hitch, one that showed anyway, but would be one for the books. Vows would give Sherry and Nick the day and the memories of a lifetime. And in a very real sense, Parker saw it as a prelude to Mac's wedding in December. Many of the same people would attend, she thought as she did a full sweep of the event areas. Her goal was to give the clients, friends, family, perfection, while whetting the appetite for the wedding of her childhood friend and partner. It wasn't the first time one or all of them had been guests as well as providers, and they had plenty of tricks up their sleeves to carry it off. She noted Emma had mastered the quick change from business suit for the afternoon event and worked with her team to clear the formal roses and lily arrangements, the swags of white and burnt gold, the marble stands and urns. Emma wore running shoes, many pocketed jeans, and a sweatshirt. And would change yet again, Parker thought, in the family wing for the event. Already the ambiance Sherry wanted came to life with the wide, cheerful faces of candy pink gerbera daisies, the saucer-sized blooms of zinnias in bold, happy colors, the soft, almost sheer pinks of baby roses. Flowers crowded huge white baskets, spilled and tumbled out of enormous bowls in fanciful and fun groupings. Nothing formal or studied, not for Sherry, Parker noted. She lent a hand, carrying arrangements to the bride's suite, setting them as directed among the candles already in place. She took the main staircase down, delighted with the twining of pretty lace with a bright rainbow of more baby roses. It was exactly Sherry, she thought, sweet, fun, and happy. From there, she dashed outside to where Jack and Carter helped Tink transform the pergola into a frame of cheerful flowers. Her nerves jingled at the sight of Carter on the ladder. The man wasn't known for his grace.
It's going to be just beautiful. Carter, maybe you could come down and give me a hand.
Nearly got this.
She held her breath, tried not to think of broken arms and ankles as Carter leaned out to twine a swag. He nearly missed a step on the way down, but managed to do no more than bang his elbow.
It's looking pretty good, don't you think?
He asked Parker. It's looking great and just like Sherry.
I'm nervous.
He took off the glasses he'd put on for the close-up work, stuck them in a pocket.
I didn't think I would be. The rehearsal last night went so well, was so easy and fun. Big thanks again for getting Di involved. She actually enjoyed herself.
Part of the job.
I have to keep busy.
His hands went in and out of his pockets.
If I don't, I remember my baby sister's getting married.
Well, I can do you a favor. I'm swamped, and if you could take this checklist in, go over it with the caterer, it would free me up and help with your nerves. And mine, she thought, as he wouldn't have to climb any more ladders.
I can do that. Have you seen Mac?
She's helping with the changeover in the solarium, but I'm going to have to break her away soon. Before that, she added her hands to the ones adding nosegays to the white-covered chairs. They were lucky with the weather, she thought, so Sherry could have her outdoor wedding. When the sun went down, it would cool off considerably, but the outdoor heaters would keep the guests comfortable enough if they wandered onto the terraces. And the trees, she thought with one last look, were as bright and colorful as Emma's flowers. After a glance at her watch, she hurried inside to check Laurel's progress, and, she thought, to grab a couple quick slugs of coffee. The bride and her party were due in 15.
Please tell me you've got fresh coffee and that you're nearly... Oh, Malcolm.
Hey, Legs.
He paused from plating some of Laurel's gorgeous cookies to give Parker a once-over.
New look for you. Cute.
She wore a full white apron over the blue dress she'd chosen for the wedding. She wouldn't have time to change later. She had shed her heels for Uggs. Far, she thought, from her best presentation, however efficient. He, on the other hand, wore a dark suit, a snowy white shirt, and a tie in subtle stripes.
You too.
She'd never seen him in a suit, she realized. They'd been together nearly every night through the week, slept together, and she hadn't been entirely sure he even owned a suit. I put him to work. Laurel stood on a step stool, putting finishing touches on the 5-tiered cake. Del deserted me. Nice presentation, she added to Malcolm. I may keep you.
But you still don't trust me with the pastries.
Baby steps. Laurel. Parker took a step closer. That cake. It's so damn happy. The square layers rose up, stacked like wicker boxes and drenched in color, with a combination of real and sugar paste flowers blooming over it. It's a winner, inside and out, but I think my favorite touch is the topper, and that goes to you, Master. She didn't want usual or formal. And damn if the laughing bride and groom kicking up their heels in a dance on top of the cake didn't make her smile. The artist really captured them. And we're going to be getting requests for personalized toppers like this the minute this one's unveiled. Which is relatively soon. I've got to...
Coffee.
Malcolm handed her a cup. Oh, thanks. He's handy, Laurel commented.
My middle name. Got anything else?
Actually, we're right on... Crap. Parker tapped her earpiece. She's just turned in. She's early. The woman's late for everything, but today she's early. As she spoke, Parker whipped off her apron, stepped out of the Uggs and into the heels she'd left beside Laurel's. She pulled lip gloss out of her pocket, applying it as she ran.
How does she do that?
Malcolm asked. Multitask, that's Parker's middle name. Laurel stepped off the stool. You two work out pretty well.
You think?
She's happy, and she's confused. A lot of things make Parker happy. Spreadsheets, for instance, and for mysterious reasons. But very little confuses her. Laurel paused to take a long sip from a bottle of water. As her friend since always, I think, yeah, you two work out pretty well. I'm sure you've already heard this from Del, but if you mess her up... You will pay. We're like the Borg on this kind of thing.
Resistance is futile.
I really do like you, Mal. She gave him a quick and brilliant smile. So I hope I don't have to hurt you. He hoped the same. With Parker busy helping the bride, he was free to wander around. He'd been to a handful of events now, and it occurred to him that the four women and their army of assistants somehow managed to make each one unique. Parker's timetable might have been rigid, but under it... Over it, around it, everything else reflected the personal, and from what he'd observed, the time and sweat that went into making it so. He found Del, Jack, and Carter at the bar in the solarium.
Just what I was after.
Del reached down, put a beer on the bar.
We're keeping Carter sane.
Yeah, what are you drinking there, Prof?
It's tea, it's a nice herbal tea.
Jesus Christ, your sister's getting hitched and you're drinking pussy tea?
That's exactly right. I have to put on a tux, and I have to escort people, including my mother, down the aisle. I have to make a toast. I'm going to be sober.
He's freaked,
Jack commented.
Shows. If you're freaked about your sister doing the I do deal, how are you going to handle doing it yourself?
I'm not thinking about that yet. I'm going to get through today. I'd be better if I could be up there helping Mac, but Sherry won't let me. I just need to...
He broke off, pulled out the beeper in his pocket.
Oh, well, that's me. I mean, that's Nick. They're here. I have to go and be there.
He downed the tea like medicine.
I'll be fine, he said resolutely, then walked away.
We'll get him drunk later,
Del said.
Looking forward to it.
Mal lifted his beer, and the three men clinked bottles. It was perfect, Parker thought. Sherry's laughter filled the bride's suite as she and her attendants dressed. The absolute joy proved infectious and provided Mac with countless photos of happy faces, mugging faces, embraces, and the bride twirling exuberantly in front of the mirror. Eyes watered up a bit as Pam McGuire helped her daughter adjust her headpiece and when Michael stepped in for his first look at his baby girl.
Sherry.
He stopped to clear his throat.
You're a vision.
Daddy. Still holding her mother's hand, she reached for her father's, pulled them together. Turned to the mirror again, her arms around her parents' waists, she beamed like the sun. Get a load of us. Get a load of you, Parker thought, as Matt captured the moment. They were beautiful and happy and together. It made her ache, just a little, for what she'd never have. That moment would never be hers. She took a breath, shook it off. It's time. The bride smiled her way down the aisle behind her pretty attendants. When she reached the groom, whose jaw had dropped satisfactorily at the sight of her before his grin burst out, she reached for his hand, laughed, and Parker thought, yes, it's just exactly right.
Best party ever, Mac declared. As ordered. How are we going to top that?
She tipped her head to Carter's shoulder. They hadn't managed to get him drunk. He'd held out and held up, and now slumped on the sofa in the family parlor, two fingers of whiskey in his hand.
She sparkled, he replied.
Yeah, she really did.
Damn good cake.
Malcolm shoveled in a bite.
It's my favorite part of these deals.
A man of taste, Laurel said, and yawned.
Tomorrow is his chocolate ganache.
Will I like it?
Yes, unless you go insane during the night.
Haul me up, Del. I am so done.
Go team us.
Emma, eyes closed, snuggled against Jack.
Can I just sleep here?
Jack rose, gathered her up. She smiled sleepily as she wound her arms around his neck.
I love when you do that.
You earned a ride. Night all.
I, on the other hand, am pumped. I'm going to take a look at some of the shots before I turn in.
Mac elbowed Carter.
Come on, cutie, let's go so you can hail my genius.
He managed to unfold himself.
Parker, thanks for giving my sister a day none of us will ever forget.
Oh, Carter.
Touched, she rose to step over and kiss his cheek. I promise you and Mac exactly the same. She watched them go.
I can see the wheels turning,
Malcolm commented.
I did get some ideas today. We'll see if I can make them happen.
If anybody can.
He paused.
Am I staying?
I'd like you to.
She held out a hand. On a brisk October afternoon with clouds scuttled across the sky and tumbles of colored leaves scooting over the lawn ahead of the wind, Parker called a midday meeting. To brighten the mood, she lit a fire, as fires had always crackled or simmered in the library on chilly days in autumn. And as the flames caught, she wandered to one of the windows to look out on the roll of land, the shivering trees, the rippling gray water in the pond. She didn't often wonder where her life was going. More often than not, her focus centered on the details, plans, contingencies, needs, wants, fantasies of others. Maybe it was the contrasts of the day, that soft and gloomy sky against the still brilliant trees, the leaves shedding themselves to dance and whirl in the air while the mums and asters stubbornly bloomed. Everything seemed poised for change, but was she? Change was as much about loss as gain, about giving something up even as you reached for something new or different. And, she admitted, she prized routine, tradition, even repetition. Routine equaled security, safety, stability, while the unknown often grew on shaky ground. And that, she realized, was a line of thinking as gloomy as the sky. The world was opening up, she reminded herself, not closing in. She'd never been a coward, never been afraid to take those steps onto unsettled ground. Life changed, and it should. Her three closest friends were getting married, starting new phases of their lives. One day, she imagined, there would be children tumbling like those colorful leaves on the lawn. That's how it should be. That's what home was for. Their business was expanding, and if after the meeting they were in agreement, it would expand again in new, uncharted areas. Then there was Malcolm, and that, she had to admit, was the crux of this nervy, unsettled feeling. God knew he was a change. She couldn't decide if he'd just slid cagily, craftily into her life, or kicked open doors she'd thought she'd cautiously bolted. Most days, she thought, it seemed to be a combination of both. However he'd gotten in, she still couldn't quite figure out what to expect from him. An attentive lover, then a wildly demanding one. An amusing companion, then one who peppered her with questions that pushed her to think both inside and outside the box. The risk-taker, the devoted son, the bad boy, the shrewd businessman. He had all those facets, and she felt she'd barely touched the surface. She appreciated his innate curiosity and the skill he possessed in digging out information, histories, connections. He ended up, she'd come to realize, learning a great deal about other people, and was frustratingly stingy with personal data. Most of what she knew of his history came from other sources. He had a way of skirting around the edges whenever she asked a question about his childhood, his early time in California, even his recovery from the accident that had brought him home again. If their relationship had stayed a surface one, the reticence wouldn't matter. But it hadn't, Parker thought. So it did. It mattered because she'd gone past interest, swung into attraction, burst through lust, tripped over affection, and was now skidding out of control into love. And she wasn't altogether happy about it. The rain began in thin, spitting drops as Laurel came in with a big tray. If we're going to have a meeting this time of day, we might as well eat. She cast Parker a look as she set the tray down. Don't you look pensive and perturbed? Maybe I'm just hungry. That we can fix. We've got some very pretty, girly sandwiches, seasonal fruit, celery and carrot straws, kettle chips, and pettifors. That ought to do it. It's nice. Laurel crunched on a chip. A fire on a rainy afternoon. Nice, too, to get off my feet for a while. She opted for tea, then sat. What's up? A couple of things. A couple of things like, here's what's up, or a couple of things like, here's a deal, let's discuss it into many pieces. I think the latter. Then I need a sandwich. Mac and Emma walked in together as Laurel loaded a plate.
So we'd pick that up with the mini mango callas for the boutonnieres, Mac said, obviously continuing a conversation. And you'd, like, pop them in and out in the bouquets and arrangements, all mixed in, but popped.
Exactly.
I think I'd like that the best. I'm consulting with my wedding florist, she told Parker and Laurel. I believe she's brilliant.
I completely am. Oh, pretty sandwiches.
I'm also brilliant, Laurel reminded her. If you're still in florist mode, Em, I've been thinking of going with cool colors, sherbety.
Don't make me wear raspberry.
Mac tugged her bright red hair.
I could make you.
But besides brilliant, I'm also kind. I was thinking lemony. All three of you would look good in really pale lemon. Maybe chiffon? That's kind of cliched, maybe, lemon chiffon, summer wedding, but...
It's good, and I can really work with a pale lemon, Emma speculated. Using zaps of bold blues, trails of minty greens, keeping it all soft but saturated, with unexpected snaps of deeper colors.
I want to get your engagement shots in the next week, Max said to Laurel.
We haven't decided exactly what we want there.
I have. Mac bit down on a carrot straw. In the kitchen.
Instantly, Laurel moved to sulk mode. Talk about cliches. Mac just pointed with her carrot.
The counter, heaped with gorgeous pastries, cakes, cookies, with you and Del in front of it. I want him sitting on a stool and you wearing your baker's apron and cap.
And the sulk deepened.
Well, aren't I glamorous?
What you'll be when I'm done with you, ye of no faith whatsoever, will be sexy, adorable, cheeky, and unique.
She was right about doing Jack's and mine in the garden, Emma pointed out. We looked gorgeous and hot.
Also brilliant, but it did help that you're both already gorgeous and hot.
So, Mac dropped into a seat.
What's the what for?
Her eyebrows lifted as she glanced at Parker, saw her friend grinning.
And what's that for?
It's fun. It's just fun to listen to all you talk about wedding plans, your own wedding plans.
Mac, I've asked Monica and Susan from the bridal shop to stand in for me, pinch running, we'll say, on your day. They're smart, experienced, capable, and if there's anything that needs to be dealt with during the ceremony, I won't have to excuse myself and bolt.
That's really good thinking.
Which makes us 4 for 4 in brilliance. They'll also help with guests while we're up in the bride's suite. Emma, I know you have a team, but...
Right there with you,
Emma interrupted.
I won't be as available for the setup, and we won't be able to draft Carter or Del or Jack. I've got 2 florists I'm going to work with on a couple of the upcoming events, and if they're as good as I think, they'll work with my regular team for Max. We're going to need extra and experienced hands for the Seaman wedding in April, and for mine, for Laurel's.
Good. And Laurel?
Also on the same page. I've asked Charles, the pastry chef at the Willows, if he can take time to work with me on Mac's wedding. I told you how good he is. He's thrilled. I have to wheedle the time off for him, but I know how to handle Julio, she added, speaking of the restaurant's temperamental head chef.
I think we've got that covered, Parker told her. We'll need to have some strategy meetings, and all of these extra hands will need a tour of the event spaces, a tutorial on how we work. Mac, I've started the timetable for your wedding.
My timetable,
Mac said, and grinned.
Parker made me a timetable.
It's varied from our usual, because it's you, and it's us. We'll work out any time constraints during rehearsal, which I also wanted to talk to you about. The rehearsal dinner.
We'll probably book the Willows, but...
Parker met Mac's eyes, read them, smiled.
I was hoping you would.
Oh, yes!
Understanding the looks, Emma clapped her hands together.
Have it here. It's perfect.
It is perfect, Laurel agreed. Even with the added work, the cleanup is just right.
Settled?
Mac reached across the table, squeezed Parker's hand.
Settled.
New business. It would be oddly new business. I got a call from Katrina Stevens. Memory refresher, she was one of our first brides. Towering, pencil-thin blonde, big laugh. I believe one of her attendants was the first to have sex with a groomsman in the bride's suite.
Oh, yeah.
Mac held up a hand.
She was easily 6 feet tall, wore spikes that added another 4 inches. The groom was about 6'8". They looked like Nordic gods.
Silver palace cake, 6 layers, Laurel recalled.
White roses, eggplant callus,
Emma confirmed. She and Micah are getting a divorce.
Can't win them all. Too bad, though. Laurel added. They made an impressive couple.
Apparently, at least according to Katrina, he didn't mind impressing others, and when she caught him doing so with one of his clients, she kicked him out. There was some back and forth, separation, reconciliation, separation, and now she's done. The divorce will be final in late February. She wants a divorce party. Here.
A divorce party?
Emma's lips moved into a pout.
That doesn't seem nice.
I don't think she's feeling particularly nice toward Micah, but she did sound as though she's feeling energized and happy. She's gotten the idea in her head that she wants to celebrate what she's calling the new start of her life, and she wants to do it here, in style. Parker lifted the water bottle that was never far from her hand. It's not what we do, which I explained to her, but she's got the bit between her teeth. She's set on it. Willing to book a full day in one of our slowest months, not counting the Valentine's Day madness. I felt I had to put it out there for discussion.
Just how do we list that kind of event on the website?
Mac muttered. I think divorce should make you sad or mad. Emma frowned over her tea. I can see going out, getting toasted with some friends, but this seems mean.
Cheating on your wife's meaner, Laurel pointed out.
No question, but it's...
Emma moved her shoulders to mime discomfort.
And here, where they got married.
It's probably small of me, but I like the way she's thinking.
Laurel shrugged and bit into a carrot straw. Like she's closing a circle, and instead of bitching or mourning, and maybe, probably, she's already done both, she's marking it with food, drink, flowers, music, friends. I wouldn't like to see us do this sort of thing regularly, but I can sort of see it for a returning customer.
Maybe we should have a package deal.
Max snagged a sandwich.
We planned your wedding, now we'll plan your divorce. Celebrate at 10% off.
Do they have kids?
Emma wondered.
No.
She nodded at Parker.
Well, that's something, I guess. You haven't said what you think about it.
I had all the same reactions the three of you have had, in various degrees.
She lifted her hands, let them fall.
My initial instinct was just no. Then, the more she talked, the more I saw where she was coming from, and why she wanted it. Then I stacked all those instincts and reactions up and took a hard look. It's business, and it's really none of our business if a client wants to hire us to celebrate the end of a bad marriage.
You're voting yes?
Mac asked.
I'm voting yes because she told me she wanted to have this party, this new beginning, here especially because it would remind her that the other beginning had started out beautifully and full of love and hope, that it would help remind her she hadn't made a mistake. Things changed, and now she was going to start again, and by God, she was going to keep right on believing in love and hope. She sold me.
You have to admire her, what is it? Chutzpah,
Mac commented. I'm voting with Parker, and further vote that if anything like this comes up again, we take it on a case-by-case basis.
Laurel looked around the table. It's business, but if the client's just looking to take swipes at an ex, even deservedly, I don't think this is the place.
Agreed, Parker said instantly. And if I'd gotten that sense, I would have steered her away.
Okay,
Mac nodded.
Case by case.
I'll go along,
Emma decided.
Because it sounds like she's just closing a door and wants to see what's behind others, but it still makes me sad.
With that, I have other new business that I hope cheers you up. I've finished fine-tuning the book proposal.
Seriously?
Emma gaped.
I don't know if I'm cheered up or just scared.
I'm going to email you all the file. I want you to edit, adjust, suggest, bitch, moan, scoff. And in the portions that apply to the work you do on the project, double all of those. Like this event, this project has to be something we're all agreed on, happy with. We all have to want it.
I have to say, we all want it.
Again, Laurel looked around the table for confirmation.
It's just such new ground. Sometimes you sink in new ground.
I've been thinking a lot about new ground myself.
Parker frowned at her water bottle.
New steps, new risks. I like to think we're tough enough and smart enough to risk taking those steps onto new ground.
Well, when you put it that way.
Laurel blew out a breath.
What have we got to lose but ego if we suck at this?
I choose optimism and not sucking,
Emma decided.
I can't wait to see what you've already put together, Parker.
I think it's got real potential. Mac, I inserted some of the photos from our files that show your skill set, and with the shots of Emma's and Laurel's work, theirs, it gives the flavor and visuals of what we do.
I'm somewhere between Laurel's ego suck and Emma's optimism, and from that position, I really want to see the platform.
Good. When everybody's gone over it, when you're ready, we'll hash it out. Then when and if, we'll send it to the agent. If, again, we're all agreed.
She let out a big breath.
And that's that.
I'd like Carter to look at it. English professor, Mac added. Aspiring novelist.
Absolutely. He can also edit, adjust, and so on. That's all I have. Anyone else have anything to discuss since we're all here?
Emma shot a hand up.
I do. I want to know what's going on with you and Malcolm. Really going on. With details.
Seconded, Laurel said.
And once again, unanimous.
Mac leaned over the table.
Come on, Parks. Spill.
Chapter 14. Parker scanned the three faces surrounding her. Friends, she thought. Can't live without them. Can't tell them to mind their own business. At least not these friends.
What do you mean, what's going on? You know what's going on.
Malcolm and I are seeing each other, and when schedules and mood mesh, sleeping with each other. Would you like me to detail our sexual adventures?
I would, but hold that for girls' night, Laurel advised. One that includes lots of wine and Mrs. G's pizza.
Question A.
Mac held up a finger.
Is it mutual banging, an affair, or a relationship?
Knowing she was stalling, Parker rose to pour another cup of tea.
Why can't it be all three?
Okay, mutual banging is for fun and gratification. An affair is more in-depth and something you may or may not think may lead to something else. But it's generally what you have until the juice runs out or you move on.
Emma paused, glanced around the table for general agreement.
And a relationship is something you put effort into. It's making and maintaining a connection. You can have elements of the first two in a relationship, but it's more than the sum of those parts.
She should do a talk show. Laurel raised her cup in toast. So, going by our resident expert, are you just having fun? Are you considering there may be more? Or are you making a connection? Parker decided she wanted a pedophore.
The problem with the three of you is you're all in relationships, and more, you're madly in love and about to get married, so you're looking at me through that prism.
Which not only avoids the question, but turns it so it's invalid. And it's not, Mac insisted. We tell each other how we feel, it's what we do. Not telling us says to me that you're still chewing on it, and maybe a little bit worried. Just not ready. That's okay. We'll wait until you are.
That's such a low blow.
Scowling, Parker bit into the pretty little cake. We'll wait. Subtext, because we're the good and true and loyal friends. Mac took a cake for herself.
Did it work?
Bitch.
It worked. Laurel smiled. And only Emma feels any sense of guilt. She'll get over it.
It's only a tiny bit of guilt, but I don't think we should push Parker if she's not ready to talk to us.
You too?
Emma lowered her gaze at Parker's deadly stare.
They're a bad influence.
Fine. The simple answer is I don't know what it is exactly. I guess I am still chewing on it. It's only been a few weeks. I like him. I'm enjoying him. He's interesting and smart without any of those pompous or over-polished or self-satisfied aspects that, well, either irritate or bore me. He understands what it takes to run a business and respects what I do, how I do it. I respect what he does, even if I don't really know too many of the details of how he does it. You almost have to pry him open with a crowbar to get him to talk about himself.
You have a whole toolbox of crowbars in various shapes, sizes, and colors, Mac pointed out. And you know how to use them so well, people tell you everything.
Apparently Malcolm's not people. Under the surface details, I mean, which is frustrating, because I want to say if it was a long time ago and no big deal, two of his default positions, then why not just tell me about it when it's obvious I'd like to know? Instead, I back off because I think it probably is a big deal, and that's why he won't talk about it. Then he redirects the conversation, something he excels at, or makes me laugh, or we have sex, and I really don't know much more than I did in the first place. Plus, he's cocky.
She swallowed a bite of pedophore, gestured with the rest.
He's got that attitude that shouldn't be appealing. It just shouldn't appeal to me at all, but at the same time, he can be charming and just easy. And he looks at you, me, people. I don't know. A lot of men don't really look at you, but he does. So it's like he's not just taking in what you're saying, but taking you in. And that's powerful.
She grabbed another cake.
How was I supposed to know how much that combination of powerful and easy would get to me? Really, I couldn't be expected to know.
Laurel said, cutting her gaze to her two friends, hiking up her eyebrows.
Exactly.
Parker bit into the cake.
Conversely, he'll interrupt me a half dozen times when I'm trying to make a point or argue a position, which makes it hard to stay on target. So obviously I don't know exactly what this is because he's slippery.
He's slippery, she repeated, and reached for another cake.
What?
She demanded as her friends stared at her.
You ate 5 pedophores, Mac told her. You're going for 6.
I did not.
Shock hit when Parker looked at the plate.
5? Well, they're petite.
Okay,
Back away from the pastries. Gently, Laurel took the cake out of Parker's hand, set it on the plate, pushed the plate out of reach. The problem is you've bottled that up, and once you pop the cork, you instinctively fed the spew with sugar. Apparently.
You're in love with him, Emma stated.
What? No. Parker shook her head, said it dismissively. No. More firmly. Then just shut her eyes. God, I think I probably am. But if I am, where's the lift, the tingle, the glow? Why do I feel just a little bit sick?
That's probably the pedophores. Matt glanced at Laurel. No offense.
None taken. They're meant to be savored, not popped like candy corn. It's not the pedophores. Parker pressed a hand to her stomach. Or maybe just a little. I don't have my footing with him, not really.
Which is harder on you than most, Laurel commented. Love can kick your ass.
I always imagined it would be a kind of lifting, that everything got just a little better and more... and more.
It does, Emma insisted. It can. It will. But first it kicks your ass.
Max smiled as she lifted her shoulders.
At least in my experience.
I don't like it. I like doing the ass kicking.
Maybe you are and don't know it, Emma suggested. He might be feeling the same way you are. If you told him...
Absolutely no way in any circle of hell. Parker swiped a hand through the air as if to banish the very idea from the face of the planet. Things are fine. They're just fine. Besides, let him tell me something for a change. I feel better, Parker insisted. I should have vented or spewed or whatever I did before. We're both enjoying ourselves, and I started overthinking it. It is whatever it is, and that's just fine. I've got a client coming in.
As Max started to speak, Emma squeezed her knee under the table. Me too. Hey, it's poker night. Why don't we have our version? Wine, pizza, movie?
I'm in, Laurel said.
Sounds good. Why don't we...
Mac broke off as Parker's phone rang. Somebody run it by Mrs. G. If it's okay with her, I'm all for it. I have to take this. Rising, Parker clicked on the phone as she left the room. Hi, Ronnie, what can I do for you? She had to be grateful. The call, the meeting with a client, two more calls, and an emergency consult with a caterer regarding last-minute menu changes took up her time and attention. She couldn't overthink and obsess about Malcolm or her own feelings when she focused on the details, mini-crises, and demands generated by clients. In any case, she told herself as she finally walked downstairs, she probably wasn't in love with Malcolm. It was more likely a kind of infatuation blurred by an undeniable sexual haze. Infatuations were harmless and fun, and could be looked back on when the vision cleared with fondness, even amusement. Yes, she much preferred the infatuation theory. Lighter, steadier, she swung into the kitchen to confirm the proposed girl night with Mrs. Grady. Mrs. G., did you... She trailed off when she saw Malcolm at the breakfast nook. An old cloth protected the surface of the table, and on it were scattered various tools, various unidentifiable parts of what she assumed was the vacuum cleaner lying gutted on the floor.
On the phone, he said, and jerked a thumb toward Mrs. Grady's rooms.
I didn't know you were here. And that was another thing, wasn't it? She thought. He so often gave her no time to plan, to prepare, to strategize. What are you doing?
I had a Porsche to baby out this way, so I dropped by. Mrs. G. was about to haul this to the household appliance graveyard.
He shook his hair out of his eyes as he loosened a screw or a bolt or something that connected a thing to another thing.
I can fix it.
Parker walked a little closer. You can?
Probably. Worth a shot.
He tipped his head to smile at her.
It's not as complicated as a Porsche.
I suppose not, but how do you know where everything goes when, if, you put it back together?
Because I took it apart.
She'd have made a list, Parker thought. Drawn a diagram. She watched him fiddle with what might have been a motor or part of one. What's wrong with it?
According to Mrs. G., it started clunking.
Clunking?
Some clattering, too. You want a lesson in appliance repair, Legs? I can give you some basics. Buy you some nice, pretty tools.
She looked, very deliberately, down her nose at him. I have tools, thank you very much.
Are they pink?
She flicked the side of his head, made him grin.
Those are my tools.
Yeah? They're good ones. Are you done for the day?
Hopefully. Look at his hands, she thought. Naturally, she was infatuated. They were so competent, so sure. Just as they were when he put them on her. She took a step back, decided she'd go ahead and have a glass of wine now. I thought it was poker night.
It is. I'm heading over to Dell's later.
He hadn't shaved, she noted, and there were tears and grease stains on his jeans. She supposed the dress code for poker was very, very casual. Do you want a drink?
No, I'm good.
He worked in relative silence while she poured herself some wine. Just a muttered curse, a hum of satisfaction now and then. His foot tapped as if to some inner tune, and his hair fell in a dark, disordered mass that made her fingers itch to get into it. Maybe she was a little in love with him, but that was as harmless as infatuation, wasn't it? It wasn't as if she was planning the rest of her life around him or with him. God, why couldn't she just relax and keep it simple?
How's that coming for you, Malcolm?
Mrs. Grady walked back in, winked at Parker.
I think I've got it.
Well, once you've got that thing back together, you wash up. You can have some cookies and milk.
He glanced back at her, grinned.
Okay.
It's nice having a handyman around the house. We've been a household of women for some time now. Not that we don't muddle through, but the next time one of the washers gives me grief, I know who to call.
One of the washers?
We've a utility room with a set on every floor.
Convenient.
He cocked a brow at Parker.
And efficient.
It is that. I'm going out with some of the girls tonight. I'll see to your pizza before I leave, she said to Parker.
We can just throw something together, Parker began. Just go have fun.
I plan to, but I can do both. I'll be seeing your mother tonight, Mal.
Yeah, she's going.
A bite to eat, plenty of gossip. Then who knows what trouble we'll get into.
I'll make your bail.
Mrs. Grady laughed in delight.
I'll hold you to it.
Lips pursed, she walked to the table.
Look how you've shined up those innards.
Needed some adjusting, some cleaning, and the indispensable WD-40. How many of these do you have?
Only one like that. It's an old one, but it's handy for my rooms. Otherwise, Parker's brought in a fleet of new spiffy ones, so I don't have to haul a machine up and down the steps if I want to do the floors between cleaning crews. Oh, I ran into Margie Winston. She told me you breathed new life into that rattle trap she drives.
That old girl's got 185,000 miles on her. The Pontiac, not Mrs. Winston.
Parker listened to them talk, easy conversation, as he put the machine back together. That was another point in his favor, she mused. The easy conversation, the way he knew and obviously interacted with his client base. And the way, when he plugged in the vacuum, tested the suction, he grinned.
She sucks.
Would you look at that? And it doesn't sound like it's grinding metal while it's at it.
Should be good for a few more miles.
Thank you, Malcolm. You've earned the milk and cookies. Just let me put this away.
I'll do it.
He crouched to wrap the cord.
Where do you want it?
Just in the utility room there, first closet on the left.
Mrs. Grady shook her head as he carried the vacuum out.
If I were 30 years younger, I wouldn't let that one slip away. Hell, I'd settle for 20 and try my hand at being a cougar.
Parker nearly choked on her wine.
I didn't hear that.
I can say it louder.
Shaking her head, Parker caught her breath.
You're smitten.
Something's wrong with you if you're not.
Nothing's wrong with me.
I'm glad to hear it,
Mrs. Grady said as she started putting tools back in the trim silver toolbox. I'll get those. You promised your sweetheart cookies and milk.
I'll see to that, then, and top off your wine. You keep him company a while.
She set out a plate piled with cookies, a tall, cold glass of milk, while Malcolm came back to wash his hands.
Drink that milk, and I'll tell your mother you've been a good boy.
She won't believe you.
After Parker stowed the toolbox, she found him alone in the kitchen.
She said she had some things to do, and you're supposed to keep me company. So what does the quartet do after pizza when the guys are away?
She sat across from him, took a sip of wine. Oh, we have slow-motion pillow fights in our underwear.
Another fantasy come true. Want a cookie?
Definitely not, she said, thinking of the Petit-Fours.
You're missing out. We've been here before.
She smiled.
Yes, but this time I'm not annoyed with you, yet. Are you feeling lucky?
Poker, she said in mock scold when his grin flashed.
Feeling lucky can make you sloppy. It's better to be lucky.
All right, here's to being lucky. She tapped her glass to his.
Well, you have homemade pizza and sexy pillow fights. What's a guy have to do to get invited to one of those events?
Not be a guy would be requirement one, though we can arrange for the homemade pizza at some point.
I could settle. Listen, speaking of invites, my mother wants you to come to dinner Sunday.
She'd lifted her glass halfway to her mouth, and now set it down again. Dinner at your mother's, Sunday? This Sunday? It was odd to feel the tickle of panic, however slight, in her throat.
Oh, but we have an event, and...
She'll work around it. I told her you had a work deal, but she knows it's a day thing.
He shifted a bit, studied his cookie.
I think she and Mrs. Grady have started talking a lot or hanging out or something.
Hmm, Parker said, watching him.
Anyway, Ma's dug in on it. I think she's got the idea that I've been spending a lot of time here, scrounging meals, and she should, you know, reciprocate.
Uh-huh. Not what you were going to say, she reflected. And if she had felt a little tickle, she'd have to say Malcolm felt a deep scraping. Wasn't that interesting?
So she's dug in, and believe me, there's no budging her. I can tell her you can't make it, but she'll just keep at it until you do.
Not just panicked, she decided. Considerably worried. He'd been maneuvered into bringing a woman home to his mother's for dinner, and she had a feeling he hadn't quite figured out how that worked. I'd love to come to dinner on Sunday. His gaze zinged back to hers, wary.
You would?
Sure. We should have everything wrapped up here by 5:30. If there's no hold-up, I could be there by around 6. I'll just drive over when I'm done here and call if I'm going to be any later than 6. Will that work?
Yeah, sure, that'll work.
The more discomfort she sensed in him, the more enthusiastic she became. It was, she admitted, small of her, but what the hell. Ask her if I can bring dessert, or maybe a bottle of wine, or never mind, I'll just call her.
You'll call my mother.
She smiled, eyes wide and calm. Is that a problem?
No, that's fine. You two figure it out.
He waved it off.
It takes me out of the middle.
I'll get in touch with her. She lifted her wine again, at ease now. Is she seeing anyone?
What?
Pure, undiluted shock swept over his face.
My mother? No, Jesus.
She didn't manage to swallow the laugh, but softened it by reaching out, laying a hand over his. She's a vital, interesting woman.
Don't go there, seriously.
I only did because I wondered if she might have a friend there, or if it would just be the three of us.
Us, three. That's it.
That'll be nice.
Okay. Okay, I've got to get going.
Have fun tonight. She rose as he did.
Yeah, you too.
And be lucky. She moved into him. Maybe this'll help. And kept moving, slowly, deliberately, until her body molded to his, until her arms twined like ropes around his neck, until her lips brushed, retreated, brushed, then sank soft and warm against his. She let a sound of pleasure, escape, seduction, surrender, a shimmer of promises to come, and felt her body yearn with that promise when his hand gripped a fistful of her shirt at the small of her back. He forgot, nearly forgot, where he was. Forgot, nearly forgot, everything but Parker. Her scent, that subtle, unforgettable hint of fragrance that was woman and secrets and cool breezes all at once. It stirred him, tangled in his senses with the hot velvet punch of the kiss, swamped him with a staggering flood of need against the firm, lithe lines of her body. Then she sighed again, skimmed her fingers through his hair, and started to ease away.
No.
He yanked her back and took them both on a dangerous fall. Malcolm. She'd opened the cage door, and now, however much she wanted to fling it yet wider, she knew she needed to gentle them both. We can't.
Want to bet?
He pulled her across the kitchen, his strides long and fast enough to have her scrambling to keep up. Wait, where